Log Radio.
All right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a new edition of the Free American. I'm your host. I'm Clay Douglas. Newtown in Texas, and pretty keen to be in Keene. My name is John Barish. And the website is nationallibertyalliance.org. Just to give you an introduction, Black's Law states, the word justice is synonymous with virtue. Therefore, only a virtuous people can return justice to our courts and save America. Since virtue as a liberty is a gift of God, it will require the blessings of God, independent and virtuous. Blessings require obedience. Obedience requires knowledge of His will. Knowledge of His will requires a relationship, without which there's no liberty. Hello, John. How are you, sir? John, you with me?
Oh yeah. I'm sorry. I had my mic mute. How you doing, Clayton? Good to be back with you.
I'm doing pretty well. Now. I'm no longer a fifth in Seadrift, coming up to actually my home. I was born in Fort Worth, Texas, where the West begins, and I'm back there after being out West and back East and everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But I just interviewed for my Carl Swenson last. Who informed me that a common law jury helped a couple, an elderly rancher couple, get back 10,000 acres trying to.
You're breaking up a little. Can you try to say that again?
Yes, sir.
Am I breaking up on you? Am I breaking up on you?
No, no, sir. This may be the new connection, internet connection that I'm in.
Okay.
So. My apologies if it does, but a common law grand jury in Nebraska got the property returned to this elderly couple there. And that's pretty much the time I've heard some good news coming out of this common law grand jury. Now, in Brussels, this is a worldwide phenomenon. In Brussels, common law jury and the Queen and the Pope guilty, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know too much about those cases. You know, we're pretty much involved with what we're doing, and what we're focusing in on is trying to move the people into the court in every state. We have constituted 49 of the 50 states. I think it's Iowa is the only state we have not constituted yet, and what that means, by constituting, means that we have taken out not actually taken out ads. We have put in press releases in the county papers, in papers in every county, and invited people to come to learn a little bit about the grand jury and to show their support by the showing of the hands, which usually is unanimous. And we've done this through almost about 3,000 counties. I'm not sure of the exact count. It's over 3,000, as a matter of fact. We do have 3,142 counties in the United States. And of all the states, of course, as I mentioned, we have 48 states, save Iowa only. I'm just looking at the website right now. It's 3,034 counties on board. And so now we have become the unified common law grand jury of the United States. So we've united all the states, and we can work together as a whole. Our main focus right now is to get a seat into the courtroom. We've got the pressure on pretty heavy. We've got a lot of papers that we've been filing. We'll be filing a lot more papers. The federal court is filing our papers, so they're going through the system. We haven't seen anyone arrested yet, but we're going to be investigating on why that hasn't happened shortly. And we have a couple of cases coming up. that, you know, and again, the only cases we're going up against the courts with is those people who are preventing us from coming in to gain access. A lot of people, you know, some people have separated themselves from us because they think we're moving too slow, but we're moving under principles and, you know, not expediency, but principles. If we compromise principles for expediency, then we will fail. So we're doing it the right way, and we're doing it with principles, slowly, point by point, making our case, building our case, taking it to the Supreme Court, if necessary, the United States Supreme Court. But I don't think we'll have to do that. I think we're at a point where they're coming very close to a breaking point. They do know that they're breaking the law by preventing the arresting part of the procedure process to continue forward, and the removal from office of these judges. We went after 14, I believe it's 15 judges and two clerks at this point. And so it takes a little time. We're at that point. I think in the next 30 days things will break, and when we break, it will give access across the nation and every county for the people to come in full speed with, you know, in a large way. Of course, the people have to be patient. They have to work the process, stand on the principles, and carefully go through this program. We can't go through this with vengeance. There are some people that are angry out there, and they want vengeance, and they've broken away to do their own thing, and that's fine. We've asked them not to use our name, that's all. You know, use whatever name you want. Just don't connect yourself to us, because we're doing things, you know, the way under principles. So that's pretty much where we're at. 49 states on board, one more state left to go. We are unified across the nation, and we're pursuing access into the courts, and we do believe it will come very shortly.
What kind of cases are you looking to review in these?
Well, look, there's only the only case we can review from outside the court at this point, and the most important case is, of course, access into the courts. If you have a judge or you have commissioners or some group of people preventing you from coming into the courts, then it doesn't matter what case you chase, they're going to ignore every case that you go after and try to file. So we made the decision that the only thing we need to do first is to get access into the court. If you don't have authority and power, then it's worthless. I mean, just having a name and sitting in the back room of Denny's is not going to cut it. We have got to get into the courts. We have to act from within the courts. And when we act from within the courts, we act with authority. It means that they've accepted us, whether they like us or not. They've accepted us. They had no choice to accept us. When the sheriff sees us, he knows who we are. He understands the authority and the power of the jury. And then we can get some work done. Anything we say will go through the process. Until we can get that power and authority, and the respect of that position, anything we say or do will be ultimately irrelevant. We might have a few little successes, but there's no way we're going to be able to save the nation. And so that's the first order of business. Once in power, the second order of business ultimately is to secure the republic. I mean, we're not going to be hearing any cases, particularly until the republic is secured, and we have a plan for that, where we want to bring all the politicians, and particularly start off in the courts. We want to bring the judicial process back under justice, and by doing that, thereby bringing the political process back under justice. So that when they want to break the laws, they won't do it openly anymore. They'll do it, you know, in the dark and quietly, and it'll be a lot less of that. We want to take away a lot of this power that these politicians and judges hold, and they don't rightfully have it. The Constitution does not permit it. So we need to straighten those problems out. That could take 30 days. It could take 60 days. It'll take a period of time, because if we go after other kinds of cases prior to that, we stand the chance of losing the nation. So we have to, and because we know that they're not going to sit still for all this. They're going to respond, And there's all kinds of ways they can respond. Some of them are pretty ugly. But so we have to secure the nation. We have to secure the courts. We have to secure the sheriff's office. We need the sheriff to understand what his job really is. We need to get him into a course of common law and judicial process as quick as possible. And we need to get our politicians aligned properly and behaving correctly and not taking any of that funny money in Washington. These are the things we need to do. We need to rebuild our militias. We need to get the sheriff in charge of the militias for a temporary period of time. It seems that it would be wise to let the sheriff maintain the control over the militia during this short time period. But at some point, once we feel we've stabilized and the threat is pretty much gone, at that point, then the militia should return back to the control of the people. Where, of course, the sheriff at any time could call for assistance to the militia, you know, because he can bring a posse together or do whatever he has to do to protect that county. And all of the sheriffs of the states should be working together by protecting their counties, ultimately the state. And likewise, state to state to state. And until we can get into that position, it just is not wise to chase down any other kind of a case. But once it's secured, then it's time to deal with the problems of the people. A lot of people in jail that don't belong there. There's a lot of cases that are brought before the grand jury that don't belong becoming before the grand jury. I'd say probably about 80 or 90% of the cases brought before the grand jury is not appropriate and should not be pursued. And I got to believe 80%, 90% of the people in prison, the same situation, they don't belong there. We need to get habeas corpuses and start to release these people. And then restitution is in order. And there's quite a bit of that that's going to have to happen. And people are not going to be able to become fully restituted, restored, because the damages that these people have done are so large and so huge, it is not enough of anything. Certainly not, they don't have enough property to maybe pay back in a monetary way, nor do they have the ability to restore a lot of these people's the damages that they've done upon them psychologically, upon the families, and so on and so forth. There's a lot of, but you know what? Restitution will be receiving our country back, getting our nation back and control of the people again, and becoming an honorable nation again, appreciated and revered by the rest of the world. Because right now, we really represent, as far as in our name, these mad people, they're representing us as an evil nation, because we are doing terrible things around the world.
Now, the militias were going down to Texas, going down to Laredo to help, supposedly help the governor with this influx of illegals. Now, this is even making mainstream news music enough that we have an invasion going on. There's millions of people coming in. These children that are supposedly being shipped up here are not exactly your average school children. We're talking about gang members that are coming in here. These illegals, by the government's own statistics, are guilty of killing thousands of Americans, not to mention robbing and stealing and raping across the country. Obama is now shipping these illegals all over the country, and I personally believe, based on the point of the first Homeland Security meeting, that they are really set up for some kind of pandemic. They want to create some. We hear that they got quarantine camps already set up for Ebola case, and If these children or these families coming from Central America coming in, they're bringing tuberculosis, they're bringing in smallpox and other diseases here. Is this a concern of the law courts? Is this something that this some kind of case? Are these cases that you can handle?
Well, you know, bear in mind, God judges people. He's been judging people for thousands of years, and of course there's a judgment at the end of the world. But he judges nations too. He judges nations by national calamities. And United States of America has been beat up pretty bad lately over the past 20 or better years, 30 years or so. Of course, we've been assaulted, and the enemy has been working from the very beginning, before the ink was even dry on the Constitution. But nevertheless, America was great because our founders were great. They were morally minded men who had a bent knee to the Lord. And they were morally minded is the key point. And they said you can't be morally minded without religion. People may think they can be, but that's a minority, a very extreme minority that has that attitude. But nevertheless, people have turned from God. I mean, it is true that this nation, the people who have taken control of the of our nation on state levels and federal levels, have demoralized us. They've removed God from our schools. They've removed God from many places. They try to make this separation of church and state. They've demoralized the people and pushed all kinds of stuff. I mean, you look at TV and see how bad that is, and a lot of things that's going on. So the national calamities that are coming upon the United States of America, if the people start to realize this is coming upon us because we've lost our way, we've turned away from the Lord, and we need to go back. To solve these problems are almost an impossibility without turning to the Lord. We need to focus in on the simple things. We need to focus in on what at the grassroots level, what's going on in our county, and county to county, state to state, that becomes national. Okay, but if we're doing the right thing on a county level, and ground zero is the judicial process, if you have a just court, you will have a just nation. That's the way it is, because justice will flow, and it'll flow across the whole nation into the political realms. They won't be able to get away with what they're doing. You know, one of the things the enemy did to take us over, the most important thing they did, was to take control of the judicial process. You see, if they don't control the judges, they couldn't control the politicians, because the politicians can't do illegal things unless you have lawyers out there confusing people or what is legal or what is illegal, and they get all these statutes, and they confuse people to death. Meanwhile, the judges are not prosecuting anything. Our sheriffs are incapable of seeing constitutional infractions. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But return justice and return a knowledge of the true law, which is natural law under God, return that put back to the nation, and you start to fix the foundation. You start to fix the disease at its source, which is right in our courts. And when that disease starts to get the cure is called justice. And justice, as you mentioned in the beginning, is synonymous with virtue. And virtue comes from God alone. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, virtue brings forth an attitude in people, a set of principles, a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. It makes us humble. You see, the battle is going to be won or lost. Okay, at the moral level, at the core, where an individual's relationship with the Lord. You know, remember, God said, "If my people shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their evil ways, I will heal their land, and forgive their sins." And that's what we have to get to. We have to return back to that. You know, again, our battle is simple. We stay on principles, not that which is expedient, but that which sets forth principles, and we build upon principles, we do the right thing, we're going to expect God to bless that for doing that, because we're doing the right thing, and he said he would. If we do the right thing, he will bless it. That's a promise right from the Bible. So all we have to do is just do the right thing. It's just the little things in front of us, each and every one of us doing the right thing, and justice will prevail. You know, it's up to God to win the battle. As a matter of fact, there's quite a few biblical stories we can refer to, where God says, "This isn't your battle, it's mine. Okay, just back off, let me take care of business," ultimately, is what he's saying. And there are situations where he took out a huge army without the Israelis ever lifting a sword. didn't even lift the sword. They came over the mountain. They were all dead. God took them all out. That's the kind of God we're talking about. And what the Bible reports is that he turned them against themselves. And I think we have that situation potentially happening right now. I think on the upper tier of the New World Order, I think there's some battles raging up there, you know, on things, different things to do. And God may be turning them against themselves, but only if he intends on blessing us will he destroy them and reinstate justice. So, again, we have to come with a bent knee and do the right thing. So when we look at all these issues, they're too big and to really try to solve. They have to be solved by God, and they have to be worked out with a sense of justice and a sense of honor and a sense of mercy. We have a situation, for instance, with these children. We have to be able to discern the problem here. You know, children are they're the innocents of the world. Now, of course, there are some older kids may be involved in this. I don't know the details or any of this. And they may be radical gang members and different things. And obviously, those people we can't keep. But if they're homeless children, if they're children without parents, and again, I don't know the details, but we have to consider a mercy here. And we have to consider what we can do. We can raise them up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. We can raise them up as good Americans by finding them homes with Americans, you know, that kind of thing. Of course, we have a border problem, and I know Ron Paul had a solution for that. And that is, and it's a commercial control that the government can do. You know, ultimately, if the government, if the people do not give these people jobs, they'll go home. And that was Ron Paul's solution. I think that's a pretty darn good solution. You know, let's fix the nation. We got to fix the nation first. We can't stop any of this. It's only going to get worse and worse and worse until we fix the core of the problem, and that's fixing our courts, and that's exactly what we're working on. Getting one county into the process, or getting one case won in a corner of the nation, is not the solution, and it's not going to solve our problems. Our problems need to be solved on a big, much bigger scale. And so we have to turn to God. And our founding fathers understood this, because in the preamble of the Constitution, they wrote concerning we, the people, who ordained and established this Constitution for the United States of America, they gave a number of reasons for the purpose of government. And one of them was to secure the blessings of liberty. And they didn't say secure liberty. They said secure the blessings of liberty. They understood that liberty comes only if you're blessed. And certainly at this point, we are not blessed because we have lost our way. We've turned from our God. We have not bent our knee. We need to open the good book and start to pay attention to our relationship with God, and then he will take care of the rest. Just do the right thing, and that's the best we can do, and God will bless us for it.
Now, you mentioned the Israelites. I feel that needs a clarification. The other day, I had Thomas on, that's your Texas mayor, and he did a wonderful show. He did a wonderful show, and I put some information up about the show up on his website, the local state, Liberty Alliance site. And suddenly, out of left field, far left field, I think, we got somebody love Israel. Now, this is the time when the Palestinian people in Gaza are beaten with rifle fire, thousands of people, women and children killed. And I felt a little bit offended. I felt that, you know, we're reforming taxes, about reforming, you know, taking a little bit of the power away from the lawyers, which are based in the city of London, probably right next door to the Rothschilds, the bank of the Federal Reserve. And, you know, of course, they made the real amendment, I guess, about barring lawyers from political office. from holding political office, and that somehow disappeared around well. So I agree with you that the lawyers promised England, Bank of England, created country of Israel is not exactly, doesn't seem to be have a place in a discussion about our states' rights and reforming our country in this bank-created safe country is violating all kinds of human rights. What do you think Americans want to support and love Israel? It is a little bit beyond me, but it's because they believe the lie that these Israelis, these Ashkenazi Israelis, are somehow related to the tribe of Judah, to some kind of, you know, connection with Jesus. And the Jewish historian Benjamin Friedman, that was the greatest hoax ever pulled on the American people, that 1953. And Friedman, Jewish historian, was there in the offices when they started World War II. He knew about what the sources of that was. Wasn't the Germans. What about that? I mean, we're being divided. And I've watched this to me in almost every state, every city, anywhere I went to try to bring information like yours, like Thomas's, to the people. Suddenly I started getting attacked because I'm in the Israeli flag. What's going on?
Yeah, I didn't get all of what you're saying because you were broke up through that whole thing, but I did pick up pieces, and I think I might be able to respond, you know. Look, we do know that Israel was put there for the sole purpose of really cause, an imbalance in the Middle East to cause fiction. And then, of course, they send in the troublemakers to make sure that that happened. And we won't get into the specifics on who. To some degree, I would just be taking guesses, but, or just responding off what other people say, and I'm not sure exactly what truth is in that. But we do know that basic idea, what I just said, is true. But nevertheless, amongst those people are decent people who are, useful idiots, puppets, just like we Americans are. We Americans are useful idiots, and we got to wake up to realize they're using us and playing us. And we need to turn and respond to the Lord, and so that we'd have mercy and we'd understand this a lot better, at least from a spiritual level, is where we got to focus in on this. You know, as far as Jews are concerned or anything like that, you know, I think we got to be careful with what names we might use because, let's look at what the Bible says. You know, the Bible says he is not a Jew inwardly. I mean, he's not a Jew outwardly, where circumcision is that of the flesh, but he is a Jew inwardly, where circumcision is that of the heart. And anybody that has a circumcised heart is spiritually a Jew. And that's really where the Jew really belongs, is in the spiritual life. And even though there was a fleshly people that God had chosen, and they were just as problematic as any other people on this sin-cursed earth. I mean, they just, I don't even know why God even tolerated them when you read the Bible to see what took place over throughout the Old Testament era. But nevertheless, he's telling us he's a patient God and he's a forgiving God, and he's going to change us and make us the willing to do of his good pleasure. And therein is Christian, a true Christian. Most Christians, I don't believe, are true Christians. I think they're Christians in name only. They haven't really bent their knee to the Word of God. They haven't opened up His book to see what His Word says, They eat their own bread and not the bread of life. And so they make it up themselves, but they don't read their Bibles, and so how can they know the will of God? And it's the same thing with a Jew. You know, a Jew is closer to the possibility of becoming a Christian or to become saved than a Gentile, a person outside, because they've already got the oracles of God. And that's the key to this whole thing. But as far as, who the problems are and who the troublemakers are and how to deal with them, I say get to the core of the problem. It's all morality. It's personal. It's with you. It's with me. It's with all the listeners of this radio program. That's where the problem is. The problem is in your heart. and fix your heart, get it right with God, and then deal with the problems that are before you. We can't deal with problems that are over there or over here unless God puts us into that place over there or over here. But most of us, really, we're in a position where we can only fix the little things in front of us. But if everybody's busy fixing the little things in front of us, we'll fix all the big things, because big things are only just a bunch of little things piled together. That's all it is. So if we're all busy working on this, we'll do it. And it doesn't take all the people to do it, because we'll never get all the people to do it. You know, God speaks of a remnant. A remnant saved by grace. And it only takes a remnant, his children, those people able to hear, to get up and take the positions of power and authority and do it right and just and work from there. And once we bring this nation back to order, the world will come back to order too. You know, we have eight nations at this point beyond the United States. We have eight other nations that are interested in doing exactly what we're doing. We have one nation comes out of Africa, one country that comes out of Africa that is interested, and they don't even have common law in their past, but they want it. And the people deserve it if they want it, because, you know, common law is given by God, and our unalienable rights are given to all men, no matter where they're living or what geographical area they're standing on at the time. And so if they want it, they should have it. God tells us to turn to it. He's the king. Common law is turning to God to be the king. And this is the thing that people must digest. It's hard for people to digest that, and because most people are running away from him. But make him king of your life, and he'll take care of the rest. And that's the key, and that's a core part of what we're teaching at National Liberty Alliance. I mean, we don't get into a lot of the Bible. We have our Bible study on a Saturday, and we do start every meeting off with some biblical principles, reading a scripture, and then we get into the core of the business, and we focus in on the core. But again, if you don't get your spiritual life together, you're not going to get your political and judicial life together. You won't have it. You cannot be ruled by God, and you can't claim God if you don't know him and don't have a relationship with him. How can you possibly be ruled by him if you don't know his will? And so, again, all of these things, it's so hard to figure out, and I've read a lot and listened to a lot on where the problems are and what group is doing this and what group is doing that. We do know of certain things, like the family like the Rothschilds. We know of a lot of different families. There's probably about 200 families out there, roughly speaking, that control this entire world, and they are the core of the problem. And they will manipulate us. They will turn us against each other. They will turn Christian against Jew, black against white, Republican against Democrat. I mean, they will turn us against every, and they've been doing it, and they're good at doing it, and we are suckers and fall for it every time. I say let's focus on the Lord. Let's look for mercy, but let's look for justice. Let's be honorable. Let's do the right thing. And sometimes the right thing, it doesn't, mercy isn't part of that. We consider the mercy and say, well, we can't have mercy here, because justice has to prevail, and this must be done, because God commands it. Then we do it. And so if we look at everything, again, grassroots level, right before us, right in our own court system, right in our judicial process, right there in your county, and we're all doing that, we will clean up all of America and return back to a nation blessed by God again. And that's our goal, that's our hope, and we trust that will happen. And surely, if that does not happen, surely America is doomed, and surely we will suffer the greatest destruction that any nation has ever received. Because we have received the highest blessings, and that's why we will suffer the greatest punishment.
Let's talk about this grassroots movement. You know, uh-huh. Ayn Rand told us 50 years ago, and there are a lot of people trying to put Ayn Rand down because she came from communist country, but she said the government has no control over honest citizens. So they have to make us into criminals.
Right.
And up on my Facebook site, I just posted a little story. And I want people to understand. 45 years ago, I started first head shops in Texas. I was a first distributor for High Times in this state. I welcomed High Times with one of my magazines. and the efforts that I started to help start Normal, sold every head shop in the country, put peace symbols in, remember our peace over flag, helped stop a war in Vietnam that was illegal, war built on lies, same thing as Iraq and Afghanistan.
Every war America's been involved with has been a sham.
That's right.
But go ahead.
And Benjamin Friedman talked about who started World War One, who started World War Two, and what it wasn't the Germans, folks. So, but the Bible talks about a plan of renown, and I went to prison in Texas for marijuana. Today, there are 20 states that if you bribe a doctor, if you pay off a doctor, you actually smoke pot without going to prison. Now, also, it's been proved that this is the most beneficial medicinal plant out there, from good for everything from PTSD to and I believe I was excited when they passed medical marijuana in Arizona. I said, wow, this may be cool. Maybe for the first time in 45 years, I won't be a criminal anymore. But it seemed that I didn't qualify for medical marijuana because I was too healthy.
Yeah, well, we will be criminals as long as we allow them to make us criminals. Look, at their statutes have nothing to do with us. People need to understand that. Right now, there is just a very few people, you know, compared to the population. There's a very few people that are fighting this battle, and some of them are winning and some are losing, and it depends on how much they understand and really how dumb the judge is, not realizing that his flesh is being put on the line if you're really running a court case properly, because that's the first order of business, is put the flesh of the judge on line, so that he does the right thing. But you know, when a government tries to control the people's behavior, that can only bring one thing: tyranny. Your behavior is your business. As long as you don't injure another individual, you're okay. You know, God has rules and He has statutes. When you study the Bible, He has law and He has statutes. The law must be obeyed. He commands all mankind to obey His law. There is no thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. You know, don't commit adultery. You know, He's telling you the law. Okay. Now He also has statutes, and He requires men to apply His laws upon other men, and we have a duty to do that, and that's what the grand jury is supposed to be all about. But we do not have the authority or the ability to judge anybody breaking God's statutes, and God does not push us to enforce that. We enforce that on ourselves. If we're in a particular, church community or something, you know, we can work to try to enforce it on each other. But that you can't physically force a person to behave. You can't physically force a person to not do drugs or to not do this or to not do that. If there is no victim, there is no crime. And it's just bad behavior. It is true, for instance, you could be corrupting the morals of a minor if you're drinking in public or smoking dope in public or shooting up in public. I mean, you know, and children are in the streets, and that's a crime, by the way. It's a crime. So you can't corrupt the morals of a minor. So whatever you do in your own home and transport of whatever things you want to do into your home to do it, that's your business. What we need to be busy about is building a moral fabric and getting that in the school, you know, teaching it in the school. And the Lord says, train up a child on how they should walk, and when they get older, they will not depart from it. I know that to be true because I look into my life. I look into the life of friends that I have had, and I've seen the upbringing they've had and where they ended up, some of them good, some of them bad, and I see where my life has taken me, and I see what I now have grown children, and I see where that takes them. You know, how it is that you grow up your children, and that's how they're going to walk. They may rebel for a while, because we always go through that rebellious years, and I think that's by nature. We're rebellious anyway. And so they'll go through the rebellious years and all this other stuff. We all think we know it all. We've reached that time. We know more than our parents. But that will subside. Let it take its course. If you've done your job good in the beginning and you continue to do the best you can and pray for them, then you will find that they'll be in the right place. But anyway, that's what we have to do. Government does not have the authority to control our behavior. Nowhere in the Constitution has that authority been given. If you go into Article 1, Section, I believe it's Section 8, I think it's 18 powers that we've given the legislators. 18 powers, and that's it. Go to each one of them individually, and you will find we did not give them any authority to write law to control our behavior. That's our job. That's our job. And if the government has to do it, then we'll become totally demoralized because we become dependent upon them to control us. And there's just so many other problems. It breeds tyrants, and that's all it does, people who will lord over each other. So all these statutes that are there, they're not law. They never were law. They were inactive even from the conception because they had no legality to it. They had no law to it because it's repugnant to the Constitution. They've never been given the authority. And if all the people really understood that, we wrote a book and we laid out the true law and we put it into a form of a handbook, and it's called the Jurist Handbook, and it was written for jurists, sheriffs, judges, and bailiffs and people, okay? And we sell it for 60, I think it's $68. It's 68 cents a piece. Eventually we'll get that down cheaper. But we're circulating that around the nation. And in that little book, okay, is really the law. You take that and the Constitution, and you've got it, because ultimately it reflects the will of the Constitution through some legislation and through some decisions from the United States Supreme Court, which, by the way, a lot of them are really great decisions. We use them all the time. But anyway, you find out what the real law is. You start reading that booklet. Then you go read these silly, stupid statutes, and you read in our book that these statutes are as if when they're repugnant to the Constitution, and 99% of what they've written is repugnant to the Constitution. If it's repugnant to the Constitution, it's null and void. It's as if they've never been enacted. They had no bite, no power, even from its inception. Okay, and that's what natural law tells us. And so, if everybody understood that and just said no, they wouldn't be able to apply their law. If everybody walked into traffic court and say, no, you don't have authority, you don't have jurisdiction over me. If everybody did that, you'd overwhelm the courts. They wouldn't be able to operate. They wouldn't be able to continue. And you do that to all the courts. You know, even the Supreme Court, you walk into there, they don't have the authority to hear half the cases that they hear. Oh, goodness, they don't have the authority to hear 100% of the cases that they hear ultimately because they're in a different jurisdiction. They're not under common law. Constitution is not held there in those places because they've hijacked it and moved it into another process, and you're under what's called chancery law. And if you always wonder why, well, how does this judge make this stuff off the bench? That's because he's king, and we're letting him be king. Because a chancellor is the king. He's the extended arm of the king. And he can make the law right off the bench. He can change it. He could decide whether he wants to give you a privilege, which we call unalienable rights, but he'll call it a privilege. He'll decide whether he wants to give it to you today or tomorrow or not at all. And the people need to wake up to this. And when the people wake up to this and step up and say, just say no, we're not putting up with you no more, okay, this whole thing will disappear. Now, we won't be able to get the population to do that, but we can get the authorities in the courts, and the authorities in the courts, which would be the administrative process of the juries, which is what we're actually building, they can step up and say, no, we're not prosecuting that. No, there is no injured party. And when that gets done, and that's what we're heading to do, this whole nation will be at reset. We'll be back to 1789 again. Just when this nation actually began, our first president was elected, the Constitution was initiated, and the beginning of our nation, it was the birth of our nation. We will reset the political and judicial clocks back to that, 1789.
You know, I have told people, if a man with a badge can walk up to you and say, what's that in your pocket, boy? Is that marijuana, son? Well, you're going to go to jail. You're going to work for IBM for 25 cents an hour. You live in a police state. This is tyranny.
Right.
And something I just up on my Facebook, which is Free American 69 on Facebook. I put up the story of a young teenager in California, and he was autistic. He wasn't too well suited to deal with life or anything, and he didn't have many friends. And he made a friend. He made a friend in high school, and that asked him to get him some marijuana. Now, in California, you can go to the dispensary and buy it there and smoke it legally. But the friend turned out to be an undercover narc, and they ended up putting this autistic child and young man into jail and pretty much ruined his life, you know, and it really affected him deeply because he thought this undercover cop was his friend. Now, I see no sense in this. You're not busting a drug dealer. Anybody on the street can buy it and smoke it. And if you hand it to somebody else and you hand it to the wrong person that you think you're a friend, you're suddenly put into the system. I think that's unconscionable. And I actually wrote books about this, about abolishing what the country would be like if you abolished the law against victimless crimes. And
well, we the people can abolish them ourselves. We can do it right now. And again, that's we're going to do it through the courts, and we're going to do it very quickly once we get in. And it is true. Look at young people experiment. You know, we all learn by doing, things that we shouldn't be doing, and then we figure it out later, and then we do it a little differently. I mean, anybody that's an entrepreneur knows you have to fail numerous times. You know, you may be a failure in business. Well, that's your school of hard knocks. If you keep and pursue on it, you're going to eventually make it, because that's just the way it is. You will eventually figure it out. And that's the best school you can go to, is the school of hard knocks. But young people particularly, they like to experiment with a lot of things, and they're going to experiment a lot of them with, drinking and with drugs and different things. And Lord willing, they'll come away from a lot of that. Some of them may continue it as an occasional usage for pleasure, and that's their business. And some will abuse it. But I think, generally speaking, over a period of time, if we win back our schools and start to train up our children, if they use it, I think they'll use it more responsibly. I think they'll use it as an occasional thing, you know, for whatever pleasure they want to get out of it. And that, again, that is their business to do. But the people who abuse it, hopefully, will have less of that when we bring our schools, get our schools back, and give them back to the community where the family. We got to reinstate the family. The family is totally destroyed. Our children are morons, absolute idiots, and I hate to say that, but it's true. You know, I myself, I've been ignorant to a lot of these things most of my life, and over the past 10 or so years, woken up to a lot of this stuff that's going on. But nevertheless, you know, our children coming out of schools are being trained to be absolute idiots. I saw some questioning of some young children, not young children, but young adults on TV. They were college students, and it was a college neighborhood or, you know, someplace. And they were asking these young people questions like, who's George Washington? They did not know. They did not know who George Washington was. Who did we fight during the Revolutionary War? They did not know the answer to that. Now, what's going on that we have college students that don't know the answer to the foundation of our government? How is it that they cannot be to the foundation of our country, shall I say, our nation? How could that be? Well, that can only be by design. They're not being taught. That's why they don't know it. They're taught things that slaves need to know, and they're taught to live in a militarized zone. You know, you go into schools these days, and they have these metal detectors, and they have people looking like cops, it's just insane. And they have no problem. They walk into school. I'm sure they're talking and chitting around as they yield over their personal items to be gone through and to walk through this detector, maybe patted down, and I can imagine them just continuing life as normal as they talk to each other as they walk through this militarized zone that they're being trained to go to, because that's what we're expecting to have on the street soon, and because if these people have their way. So we have a problem. And the problem begins in our school. They don't know anything. They don't know about God. They don't know about the political process. They don't know about the judicial process. They don't know what justice is. They don't know what common law is. They don't know what the Constitution is. They don't know anything except for what these people who have taken control of our government, and it's really a minority, but nevertheless, they control everything. And they control our education, they control our entertainment, they control even our churches, they control everything. And they're creating great slaves. And these people haven't got a clue. And they have no desire. I notice kids these days, young adults, they rather sit at home all day playing their stupid Nintendo or whatever it is that they play on these machines all day long. That's all night. Actually, it's all night long, and they sleep during the day. I mean, it is really pretty pitiful. America has been degraded. America has been destroyed, and only people can fix it. And we don't have much time, because we'll reach that point of no return. So people need to step up now. They need to take control of their lives. They need to do the right thing. They need to become an example to other people, an example to their children. And they need to take back their schools. And it all starts with taking back your courts. You take back your courts, and now you can take everything back. And it'll happen very quickly. A lot of the problems will disappear naturally, because justice has come, and darkness will always flee from light. So bring that light, which is justice, and darkness will flee, and most of our problems will disappear. You know, Agenda 21 and all these strange things that got going on all go away almost overnight. Take back your courts. Bring justice back to the courts, and you'll be bringing justice back to America, and we'll have liberty again by the mercy of God.
Our courts right now are dominated by the lawyers. The lawyers owe their allegiance to a foreign country. The British Accredited Registry is who gives. This is the country we defeated to create America, and yet you've got it set up right now so that they run us. They run us.
Right. It's a communist organization. Look at the Democratic and the Republican Party is run by the communist is a communist organization run by communists. The Bar Association is a communist organization run by communists, and that's why our government, everything is controlled by lawyers. Wherever you go, there are lawyers, and lawyers control everything, and so we're being controlled by the communist or Marxist.
And the Communist Manifesto is intact in America. And, you know, let me just leave you with the quote from Rabbi Weiss almost 100 years ago. Some call it communism. I call it Judaism for the masses. It's, you know, I mean, I really believe that they're setting us up, especially with these illegals, especially with these diseases, especially with the Ebola that they're importing into this country. They're setting us up for a pandemic, another Spanish flu, and a lot of these people that died of the Spanish flu died from vaccinations. Now, what they've said...
Well, I agree. Yeah.
I filmed the first Homeland Security meeting. This may be one of the reasons they tried to kill me 10 years ago, that in case of a single outbreak of smallpox in a major metropolitan area, we'll need 400,000 well-armed, well-trained, organized, disciplined troops to control the American people. Because some of them just won't follow orders. Yeah, some of us won't line up on the Kmart parking lot to get a vaccination, mandated vaccination for a disease that's been eradicated for 100 years in this country. And the vaccination will give you a mild case here. This is setting the people up to be eliminated, to be, of course, they wrote that in stone, the Georgia Guidestones.
Right. Well, these people are insane. They really think that they can destroy our planet and destroy everything in it, and then they can rebuild it later. They're totally insane. If I might, I'd like to end this program, from my perspective, with two quotes, both from the same man, Thomas Jefferson. And he said, "I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power." And the purpose of NationalLibertyAlliance.org is exactly that. That is to restore the people through knowledge, to re-educate them. And he had another quote: "An enlightened citizenry is indispensable for the proper functioning of a republic. Self-government is not possible unless the citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise oversight. It is therefore imperative that the nation see to it that a suitable education be provided for all its citizens." Again, Thomas Jefferson.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate being on my show. Thank you very much. And we'll have links up on the website to all of this. We got cut off a couple of times, but we'll get it all right. Thank you very much, John.
All right. I appreciate it, Clayton. Thanks for having us on again. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.